This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 11th of February, 2014, and my name is Patrick Smith. What a show have we got for you guys today. We have three games to report on since we last spoke. We've got three games to look forward to, not least Rob Stewart's testimonial. We look at the Winter Olympics. We look at the news across the league about players going, players coming in. We look at everything, what can I say? We also have a fantastic interview with the one, the only, as Davey describes her, the greatest hockey export that Northern Ireland's ever had, Geraldine Heaney. If you want to get in contact with us here, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, at AVFTB on Twitter, and of course soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all our post-game and special interviews. Only one way to go, and that's the chat to the boys. Lots to talk about, three games since we last spoke. So Giants are nearly over the line, but not quite yet. I think it'll be a couple of weeks yet before we're ticking off a league title. It can only be just around the corner. But in the meantime, it's business as usual for the Belfast Giants, and to chat about that. Coming in loud and clear, Mr. David McGimsey, how are you?
Hiya, Paddy.
Is it a new microphone?
It is indeed. Yes, our technology's going up and up here over in England.
Step by step.
Wales.
And also joining Neil, the coach Russell. New microphone, coach?
No, still use my iPhone.
bit by bit. Guys, we had, as I say, we got three games to talk about. First of those was the second leg of the Challenge Cup semi-final, which took place in Cardiff Bay at the Big Blue Tent. Davey, you went along to this one. It was actually a 3-3 tie, one of the very few ties we've had with the Belfast Giants for many a year. But it could be a tie because it was the second leg of the Cup. The Giants actually progressed 10-4. Into the final of the competition. And two goals for Suez, one for Surrett and the Giants, and two goals for Myers and one for Kirka in the Devils. Davey, the Devils are a much improved outfit.
Yeah, they're definitely buying into Dave Whistle's coaching. You know, he's completely changed their defensive setup. They kept the Giants to the outside, didn't allow shots down from the slots, and overall they've done a very good job. The Giants were very, very sluggish for the good first half of the game, and then by that stage when we were 3-1 down, the coach has called a timeout and just settled things down and sort of said, you know, we're 3-1 down here, boys, but we're still well ahead in the game. And from then the Giants actually set up like they were winning 3-1. You know, they trapped very well. They were playing four along the blue line at one stage, and then they sneaked a goal, and it was all here, we can go on and win this. And they really pushed. The last 10 minutes of the third period was really all Giants. And fair play to Dave Whistle. He wanted to win the game for the crowd that had came, and he pulled Kozowski, and they had a go in the last minute or so. But, you know, 3-3 for the Giants, and they moved on to the final. So overall, though it wasn't by any stretch of imagination a good performance, it was a job well done.
Coach, Davey mentioned there, Kamil Kozowski, the latest import netminder for the Cardiff Devils, and one who's doing quite well. It goes to show when you have got that sort of a quality player backstopping you, it can actually change the side. It can actually give you a bit more confidence.
Well, there is no doubt whatsoever that after Dan LaCosta's career-ending concussion, that the Cardiff Devils needed to get a good goaltender in, and they went cheap, didn't they, initially with bringing in Cook, and you know, that just didn't work out. He was leaking goals like it was going out of business, and you know, they upgraded and brought in Kozowski, and I have to say, even though in that first leg he gave up 7 goals, I thought his defence left him like high and dry, and he put in a good performance, I thought, at the Odyssey. I know it sounds ridiculous when you concede 7 goals, but you know, he saved a hell of a lot as well that night and pulled off some fantastic saves, and he's got a good glove hand, and you know, he's helped them continue on this very impressive streak. And as you quite rightly say, Cardiff they've kind of got their act together now, haven't they? You know, and you know, I suppose at the end of the day, Brent Pope has to be given some credit there, and obviously since Dave Whistle's come in, he's just solidified that. Dave Whistle's a good, astute coach. He will have those guys playing a system. He will have those guys buying into it, and judge him, you know, stats don't lie, and you know, they've done very well and they're progressing well.
Where's the bell?
A big difference I see in this Giants team this year, and maybe Giants teams of the past number of years, whenever we come against a hot goalie, in years gone by, you get a goal or you get shut out, this team sticks 4, 5, 6, or 7 past a good goalie on a good night. You know, they just have that little edge where they can find the gaps, and credit to him. I don't know how Jeff Suez scored that first goal, backhand wraparound with nowhere to shoot. I have no idea how it went into this day. And, you know, and once again, Suez are coming up with two big goals in a game where, you know, we're lacking offense. And it was just one of those nights where, it was good. I spoke to the coach afterwards and it was good to get just through the final. The result wasn't really important for a change. And, you know, silverware, and now we're in the right position to lay a marker down for the rest of the season.
The Devils are now eliminated. Of course, the Giants go on to play either the Panthers or the Steelers in the next round, Davey. But just quickly, one more chat about the Devils. Given how well organised they are, they've won 7 straight in the league. Given how organised, considering the circus that we've had early in the season, the Devils are now starting to look a little bit dangerous moving into the playoffs.
The Devils are going to do nothing but move up the league at the minute, the way they're playing. They've reorganised, as I said, their defence is much better. They've got good goaltending. And, you know, darling of Premier Sports, their coach will tell you they've got great players going forward. Kirka, Myers is scoring goals, Mac Faulkner. You know, they're a good all round unit. And I'm glad that we've only to face them one more time this season. You know, they are going to take points off our rivals as well. And, you know, they're going to be one. We're not going to have to face them in the playoff quarterfinals, put it like that, because they're not going to be an 8th place team come the end of the season.
Coach, the danger of the Devils?
Yeah, listen, as I say, stats don't lie. They're progressing up the table, as Davey says, and they've got their act together. And as I say, if Dave Whistle hangs on to the end of the season, I definitely wouldn't want to be necessarily coming up against the Cardiff Devils in the playoffs. Though in saying that, I think the Giants have got such a mental stranglehold over them. You know, we have absolutely bar that 3-3 game, we've really put them to the sword a lot this season, and put them under major pressure early doors in games and come out convincing winners. And, you know, okay, they've improved. Like the likes of Thomas Kirk and Mac Faulkner, those two guys would lace up the skates in any of the top teams in the Elite League. They are two fantastic players. And as you quite rightly say, whenever you put in a good goaltender into the mixer, a good goaltender gives you a chance to win every single night. And I agree with Davey. I hope we avoid them in the quarterfinals.
Just to, I think it's could be one of the Ask Davey questions from, well, for later in the show, but someone had asked, do you think that Whistle stay in Cardiff, you know, for the remainder of the season? Do you see Brent coming back from Sochi to step back in behind the bench, or do you think that, that Whistle take them through the end of the season now?
I can't see if it remains a successful team, and coach will tell you, said many times, what do you change in a successful team? If they have success going ahead, then why would you take Whistle out of that equation? If he's got them well organized, well drilled, and the players have bought into his systems, then there's no reason, unless Whistle has to go back, why Whistle should be taken out of the equation because Brent Pope is back.
It could also be argued that the Devils were on that upward spiral whenever Whist took over. You know, whenever Brent Pope took them to Scotland, they won 3 games in 3 nights, that came tired to Belfast and got well beat. But, you know, they were 8-0-1 or something at home before Dave came along. And although he definitely has improved things, like that was a much improved performance from a Cardiff side, and I've been down there a good few times this season. You know, let's not take anything away from perhaps their previous interim coach.
No, I agree with that. I think Whistle, if I was Paul Regan, there'd be no bones about it. I'd be putting a big contract down in front of him. I think Dave Whistle obviously came in on the premise that he was going to be here for a month. And knowing Dave the way he used to operate, if that's what he's been told, that's what he would have planned for. And he, you know, if Paul Regan wants him to stay on, I'm sure negotiations would have started fairly. Well, how long is he here now? A couple of weeks. And they've already got a few games under their belts and playing very well, playing good, solid hockey. Reagan's going to have to put down a nice wee incentive, I would say, to keep Dave Whistle staying here.
We've also got the post-game interviews with Dave Whistle and Paul Leary.
Joining us post-game after the 3-3 draw with Cardiff is, seems strange to say it, Cardiff interim coach Dave Whistle. Dave, your thoughts on the game?
it was a good game from start to finish. Our guys were pumped to play them tonight. Hard for Belfast to come in probably leading by 6 goals. So, you know what, we were aggressive all game. We pinched all game. We tried to win the game. Pulled the goalie at the end when it was 3-3 because we wanted to win the game. And I thought it was a good game tonight. I think both teams played very well. And I guess a 3-3 tie was probably a deserved points for both teams.
Chatting with head coach Paul Leary, and we're saying, noticing that the Devils are already sort of buying in this defensive system that you're setting up, eliminating shots, keeping the Giants to the outside, and guys buying into what you're trying to do here already.
Yeah, I mean, we did. We had a good meeting on Friday and Saturday. Went over it a little bit, went over it all day yesterday. We did some this morning again at practice. You know, we'll keep doing it over the next couple of weeks. Our biggest thing is to everybody be ready for the start of the game and play like that all the way tonight. And tonight we did it. And if they do that, like, we have a good enough team to compete with anybody, I think. And I'm looking forward to the remainder of the year.
There's been a lot of criticism of the Cardiff Devils, especially the organization, over the last few weeks. But, you know, they're running at sort of 8-0-1 here at the minute. They're on a rich vein of form. You know, you're looking to climb up those rankings, get a better seeding for the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking at third place. I mean, you know, we can't get second, we can't get first. But a third is open. Like, we're only about 4 or 5 points out of third. So, I mean, we have enough games left that it's in our it's in our hands. And if we just keep buying into everything, we have a good enough team that can compete to win every night. So if we can win probably 75 or 80% of the games remaining, I would say we'd have a good shot to get into that third or fourth.
I can't let you go without asking you about the 18th of February. Man standing just over here, propping up the bar. Rob Stewart having a very well-deserved testimony. I believe you're going to be strapping on the skates yourself and coming out in the Odyssey.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. Rob and I have been together a long time. We started almost together. We were together for about 15 years. And too bad it wasn't longer. But, you know, circumstances don't work that way all the time. And I'm really looking forward to he's getting a night out with you know, something that he deserves. He's put a lot of time and effort into the game and a lot of time and effort into that team. And I'm glad he's getting a testimonial. I'm glad to be part of it.
Well, it's an absolute joy and pleasure to have you back in the UK. Really, really good to see you again, Wes.
Thanks very much.
Joining us ringside after tonight's 3-3 draw in Cardiff, Giants head coach Paul Leary. Coach, your thoughts on the game?
Well, it was a strange game because we go into the game, we're up 7-1, and we don't really want to overextend ourselves and get caught at the back. And, you know, to their credit, they came out pretty hard and they tried to, you know, regain those goals that they were behind and made it tough on us. I thought we had a slow first period. We didn't really get our feet going until maybe the third period tonight. For whatever reason, we just weren't that sharp, you know. And but, you know, the end result is we qualify for the final, which is what the goal was. And we still end up tying the game in the third and keeping the streak going. So that's kind of nice.
As you said, they're going into the third period, 3-1 down. Another example of the character of this team, just to guts it out and get that tying goal.
Yeah, you know, the guys could have maybe, you know, just said, oh, we're happy to go to lose the game 3-1 because we would have won on aggregate 8-4, but it's not really the character of our team. If we get a chance to make something happen, you know, we do it. And we did get a couple of nice goals there in the third to tie it up, which was nice.
From a coaching perspective, was that a game that you'd have settled for, you know, managing the clock, managing bodies, and now just focusing the league with the 7-1 lead? Or is that something that coming in the game you were really keen to keep the run going, keep the feet going, and, you know, come out with a positive result?
Well, you know, at 3-1, I wasn't too concerned about if we won or lost the game because I knew the aggregate score was 8-4 for us. So I didn't want to send the guys too hard because, like, normally if we're down 3-1, of course, we're going to be more aggressive on our forecheck and we're going to try to create more goals through the cycle. But decided that it was best just to keep our normal game plan and keep the score at 3-1. And if we got anything from that, then we'd be happy. And fortunately, we did get one, and then they took a bit of a bad penalty, I thought, for the third one. So, it was nice to tie the game in the third.
I know we don't always like talking about other teams, but you can notice already the difference Dave Whistle's made, perhaps their defensive shape here already, and positive signs in Cardiff moving forward after a bit of a troubled few months.
Yeah, he's done a fine job regrouping the guys, and it's, you know, it's always nice you know, when a new coach comes in and in the situation that they're in, you know, they've had a lot of changes this year. So I think, and Wiss has been around, he's an experienced coach, so he knows how to get them set up and get them organized. And it shows on the ice. They're playing a better team game right now. And they got a pretty skilled lineup right now compared to what they had at the start of the season. I think they had more of a physical, more aggressive lineup. Now they've gone a bit with more skill. And they got some quality players there, and we've always known that they have some good forwards who can score. And I thought they played well defensively tonight. They were pretty solid. So yeah, so they're a better team, and that's probably a good thing for us going forward. I think we play them one more time at home. They have lots of games against other teams that, you know, maybe a win here or there for them against some teams that were that are chasing us still at the top of the standings. There could help us.
And for the Belfast Giants now, let's get home and get the feet up for a day, and let's really then drill into the weekend and our big pair of games coming up.
Yeah, we got a travel day tomorrow, so we'll get back in and then skate on Friday before the game and get ready for the weekend. Yeah, two more big games, and they're all big right now. You know, we're counting the games down here in the league, and it's important that we pick up points every chance we get.
I know you'll not have a preference to who you meet in the final, but always good to be, you know, challenged for silverware at the start of the season, you'd have taken the position we're in now.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, we've got a massive lead in the league, and, you know, that's the trophy everyone guns for. That's the one that decides the national champion, basically. And honestly, it's like playing a playoff game every night when you're leading the league, because everybody wants to beat you and knock you down. But we've managed with the pressure very well and played very well in the league. And, you know, I'm sure that's going to continue with the guys we have in the room. They have a lot of character, and they're very professional, and they work hard all the time. So we're just going to keep driving here every night and trying to create, you know, good results.
Well, Coach, congratulations on reaching the first final of the season, and a safe trip home to Belfast.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And the video highlights of that game from Devils TV are available on Kingdom of the Giants. Guys, moving on. Friday, we had two Gardner Conference opponents across the weekend, and on Friday night, the first to come into the Odyssey Arena were the Hull Stingrays. Coach, you were commentating this game, a 3-0 win, shutout win for the Belfast Giants. Job done, really, wasn't it?
It's not a game that you're going to be telling the grandkids about in 30 years' time, that's for sure. It was, to be perfectly blunt, it was an incredibly dull game of hockey. No atmosphere in the building, no real emotion out on the ice either. But as we've said a million times this season, it was just another clinical, effective performance by the Giants. And, you know, again, goals spread around. I think Mason scored a goal, and White Cotton, I can't remember who, maybe got the other goal.
Chris Higgins,
the Belfast Datsuk, got the other goal. And yeah, listen, it was an effective and clinical performance. But I thought Ben Bounds was impressive for the Hull Stingrays, I have to say. I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him progressing in the next season or two up to one of the bigger teams.
Davey, one of the points we miss out from Wednesday is the fact that there were a few hairy moments for Stephen Murphy, maybe not given his most impressive performance of the season, but with a shutout in Hull against Hull on Friday, he sort of put that to bed.
I think you've got to take into consideration, you know, we had games Saturday night, Sunday, we had the travel, long travel day on Wednesday, travelling back Thursday to get back on the ice for Friday for another game. You know, that's a hard week the Giants have had. You know, they've had five games in 8 nights, and that's a good week to get out of the season and get done, crossed off. We've came out of it successful in every game. And, you know, yeah, Murph didn't have his best game. He'll look back, as he'll probably not look back on the Cardiff game and tell his grandkids about it either. You know, it's one of those ones. Didn't have the greatest game, came away with the right result, and that's all you can ask for. You know, put it to bed and just move on.
Post-game interviews, Sylvain Cloutier and Paul Ailey.
Joined post-game by Hull Stingrays head coach Sylvain Cloutier. And Sylvain, I thought your team played incredibly well, certainly for those first two periods.
Yeah, I thought we played well tonight. We had a game plan coming in, being down two imports tonight, coming into Belfast, playing the best team in the league and the team that's going to win the league title. There's no doubt in my mind. And we kept them to the outside and tried to contain them all night, and obviously we ran out of gas there at the end. And you know, they're a very good hockey team, like I said, so they deserve to win.
And certainly we were up in the commentary box there, and we were saying, you know, you may well have come in two imports down, but one thing that you could never criticize your guys for is that 100% effort throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I asked them before the game, is make sure we come and compete. I mean, I thought we were very unlucky against Fife on Wednesday. You know, we had a lot of scoring chances we didn't bury, and tonight to come here and play Belfast, You know, we had to compete. If you don't compete against them, they work extremely hard, and they're a well-rounded team. And you know, you look at their lineup. I mean, there's not any weaknesses there.
Special mention for your goaltender, Ben Bounce. He's been superb for you all season long, and again, he was superb tonight, facing or saving over 40 shots.
Yeah, I mean, since the beginning of November, he's been our MVP. He's been taking charge, and he's won us a lot of games. I mean, our winning streaks we had there, we had 6 wins in a row, and then 7 straight wins at home, and you got to give him credit. And you know, he's done a great job, and obviously he wants to play for the GB, the national team, and you know, some of the shots he faces, I mean, he's been great for us.
And time now to refocus for that Gardiner Conference. You're sitting at the top at the minute. Obviously, Dundee have a couple of games in hand on you, but I'm sure that's still an aspiration for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's our goal, is to win our conference. And obviously, all we can do is try to win the games that we have left against Fife and Brayhead and Dundee. And obviously, we want to take points from the other conference, because we don't want to finish 8th and have to face Belfast. So if we can finish 2nd, then obviously whoever finishes 2nd will probably face the Gardiner Conference team. So that would give us a chance to go to the Final Four, and that's been our goal. So hopefully it all works out at the end.
Sullivan, many thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joined post-game by Belfast Giants head coach Paul Leary, and the Belfast Giants running out 3-0 winners in their end. Your thoughts on that, coach?
I thought overall we played a good game. We played hard for 60 minutes, and credit to them. They kind of hung around the game and waited for their chances, and they got a couple of chances, but not too many. It was one of those games where I was a bit worried, where at 1-0 in the third period, you know, they get a lucky one off someone's skate or off the glass or something that bounces funny behind the goalie. I was really worried about a goal like that for tonight for some reason. But fortunately for us, that didn't happen. And I think our domination paid off. And finally, we got a power play goal. We had so many good chances on our power play, we just didn't score. And their goalie, credit to him, he just found a way of getting in front of the puck and stopping it tonight. I mean, he did a really good job for them.
That's what I was going to ask you. You know, going into that third period, we're 1-0 up. Normally, we're exerting a wee bit more dominance on the game going into that third period. You know, I'm sure you were probably worried, just getting the guys to refocus leading into that third and final period, try and get that second goal.
Of course, of course. I mean, you know, it's not the kind of team that I have to refocus very often. I mean, they want to win, and that's the bottom line. And they go out there, and they'll do everything to win. I wasn't overly worried, because Murphy was playing really well in net too for us, and when he had to make those quality saves, he did, and that's why he had a shutout tonight and man of the match. So you know, again, he comes up big for us, and we're going to have games like this. You know, teams are going to come in here and they're going to play defensive and hope to sneak a goal here and there and stay in games. And tonight, you know, Hull's game plan was pretty good. You know, they just tried to stay in the game, and you know, fortunately for us, we were our focus and our concentration was there, and we didn't give up. We didn't make too many bad plays out there to maybe give them an easy goal. We made it tough on them, too, to get their scoring chances. And in the end, you know, I really felt we deserved the win.
You've already mentioned Ben Bounds, but also a special mention for our own Stephen Murphy, who, again, has been a brick wall all season long, but again, was gets a shutout this evening.
It's very consistent. I mean, game in, game out, he's very reliable and plays the puck really well. He's smart with the puck, and he reads the play really well. I think that's his strength. He seems to know where the puck is moving all the time, and he's in great position. And he's a big key to our success. There's no question about that. You have to have a good goalie to win anything, and he certainly played well all this season so far, and I'm sure will continue. And the players really believe in him. You know, we trust him. And you know, the goalie's job is to make a big save when someone makes a mistake, and he seems time and time again to do that for us.
Rest up tonight and prepare probably a pre-game skate tomorrow before the Fife Flyers roll into town. Any thoughts on that game?
Well, yeah, the last time in here, Fife played really well, and they had the lead on us going late into the game, and we scored one to tie late in the game, and then we won the game in OT. So I'm sure we expect them to play the same way. They're desperate for points. They're trying to get in that 8th spot, and they're going to want to come in here and steal some points and get something out of the game to try to get back up into the 8th place. And we know, you know, maybe they're in 9th, but we know they can play. They proved that to us, so we're going to have to be ready for a tough game.
Thanks again for your time, Coach. Many thanks.
And the video highlights in inverted commas, are from Giants Live TV on kingdomofthegiants.com. Guys, swiftly ahead, third game of the week. The Fife Flyers rolled into the Odyssey Arena to face the Belfast Giants. The last time Fife came to the Odyssey, they walked away with a point, as the Giants had to fight into overtime to take the overtime win. Coach, another difficult game for the Giants. In fact, it was Fife that struck first.
As dull a game as the Hull game was the night before, I absolutely loved this Fife game. I really did. I was impressed with Fife. They were tenacious the whole night long. They didn't back down to the Giants. They kept coming and coming and coming. And, you know, I thought it was a fantastic game of hockey. It had absolutely everything, bar a toe-to-toe scrap. It had everything. It was fast at times. It was skillful. It was physical. You know, it was niggly. You know, Jordan Fulton for the Five Flyers. A real plays the Darryl Lloyd role brilliantly well. Gets under people's skins. Drew a few penalties, took a couple of silly ones himself, but I thought it was an excellent, excellent game of hockey.
Two goals for Surrette, one for Higgins, one for Shields, one for Elfring, one for Garside. That's a lot of scores. And for Fife, two for Reber, one for, is it Rural?
Come on, Ryle.
Coach. Ryle, you were the one on the commentary. And and Jordan Fulton got one of his own. Davey, as Coach says, bit of a niggly game. Todd Doodium's got a good side there that, you know, they have their moments, and certainly at the Odyssey Arena, but the Giants again had to basically try to pull ahead twice, especially they were level with the Five Flyers on a number of occasions.
Had to dig deep. Yeah, the Flyers played very well at the weekend. Took their chances, transitioned the puck very well, and got shots away on Murph. I still think, although it was quite a good goal, I think Murph would like Bieber's first one back, low to the blocker side from sort of 60 feet. I think he would like to, you know, have that back. But at the end of the day, the Giants have rallied through and, you know, two great players. One Higgins supplying Surratt with the heads up pass, Surratt crashing there, and the opposite way around, Surratt throwing one on net and Chris Higgins tipping it in. The two highlights of the night for me, you know, absolutely two fantastic goals. Just to keep that, as coaches already call them on the Friday night, keep that Belfast Datsuk tag going. You know, the guy's on fire at the minute. He's playing with a lot of confidence and he's bringing a lot of his teammates into play, and vice versa. His teammates are bringing him into the play. That second line, it made a big difference having Chevrolet back on that second line, that's for sure.
Coach, the Belfast Datsuk, not something that the general manager is caring for?
We did a, Killer and I did a Q&A before that game in McCool's, and
really?
And he let it be known in no uncertain terms that the Belfast Datsuk hashtag had to stop. He said, Chris, obviously all quite satirical, but he said that Chris Higgins is letting this go to his head. He's walking around the locker room as if he was Pavel Datsuk.
Changed his number to number 13.
Yeah, exactly.
Fighting Davey Phillips for it.
Exactly. And he said, you can see it on Twitter now, the likes of Kiefer and a few of the guys all calling him Datsuk in and what have you, calling him the Belfast Datsuk. So that's a bit of banter all started by Mr. McGimsey there. And a bit of banter, and all the guys have bought into it. But no, the general manager was none too keen, felt that it was all going to his head, time to nip it in the bud.
Well, Davey, well, do you respect to Todd Kelman if Chris Higgins continues to play like the Belfast Datsuk? I think we'll continue to refer to him as that.
Yeah, he's taken it on. He's put the Belfast Datsuk tag on his shoulders, and it doesn't seem to have done him any harm anyway, the way he's playing at the minute. He's playing like the Belfast Datsuk, so we'll just... Sorry, Todd, we'll just have to keep rolling with it for now.
Back to Fife. Like I say, they're a very well-drilled side. Coach, and moving into the playoffs, they're a side, okay, they are languishing towards the bottom, but they're a side that if they did were able to push through and find that playoff berth, they could prove, like Cardiff, could prove a danger.
Yeah, I think they are a wee bit away, aren't they, from eighth position?
I think
maybe talking four, like 8 points, aren't you, four yeah. games.
Well, have they been eliminated already? Are they?
No, they're not eliminated from the playoffs. They're eliminated from the championship, but they're as Coach says, they're 8 points off Cardiff or Coventry, sorry, with the same amount of games played.
You know, but you're right, Paddy. Listen, you know yourself, all it takes is to go on a wee stretch. And for Coventry, like Coventry are in and out, aren't they, of form, you know, 1 minute they're excellent, next minute they're losing heavily and what have you. So you just never know, but 8 points is a lot to kind of get up at this point this season. So I can't really see it. But you know, Todd Doodium, you know, a pretty disappointing season overall for the Fife Flyers. He'll be looking to upgrade, I would say, in a few departments next season. You know, and any of the interviews that I've heard him given, he's kind of just constantly referred to the constant kind of disappointment. He felt a bit let down by some of his players and what have you. But I have to say, as I've already said, actually on the Saturday night game, I was actually really impressed with him. I as Davey said, they transitioned to puck beautifully. They were physical. They were aggressive. Their goaltending was pretty good as well. And Kevin Reagan, I think, I know his surname's Reagan. You know, I just thought overall, I thought they were a good hockey team. And, you know, kind of look at them, if they can put in that type of performance at the Odyssey Arena, you would kind of think to yourself, why have they not done better in that Gardner Conference against lesser teams, for want of a better term?
Just from my opinion on them, I just think they're just not deep enough. You know, they've got that line of Bobby,
Jamal,
Jordan Fulton and Reber. You know, they're their three main guys. They just don't have that secondary scoring. And although they've got kind of good, I think only Edinburgh have scored less goals than them this season. They've conceded absolute buggerful. I'm just trying to flick up the standings here. Let's see. They've only scored 4 goals more than Edinburgh this season. And they've conceded 150 goals. You know, only Edinburgh have conceded more goals than them. They're second bottom for a reason. And I think it's down to depth. Todd Doodham is going to have to, if he's still there next season, is going to have to build just a deeper team.
We were only able to talk to Todd Doodham after the end, but we do have a post-game interview with Paul Eddy.
Joined post-game by Belfast Giants head coach Paul Eddy, and coach, another 2 points for the Belfast Giants, running out 6-4 winners tonight.
Yeah, a big 2 points for us. You know, with Sheffield losing and Dundee losing, it increases our lead in the standings. So it's a big win, a big weekend for us. 2 big wins at home, and you know, we were the better team in both games. We deserve the wins.
Scoring again from all three lines, as it were, and, you know, from all over the park. You know, we've got Calvin Elfring there, Kevin Surrett coming up with another 3-point night for the Giants. Just this team just comes up with the goods every night.
Yeah, it's always somebody different. You know, every night someone plays big. I mean, we had Murphy in the game on Friday, the shutout, and then Surrett tonight gets a couple of goals and an assist, and we get contribution. We, you know, our defense always chip into making great plays and scoring goals, and maybe they don't get enough credit for that, but they really move the puck well, and you know, the 6 of them are very, very solid for us at the back, and that helps, obviously, our goalie. And in general, our defensive side is very good, and that's why we're getting a lot of wins.
I thought the game got a wee bit chippy as well at various different stages tonight. Jordan Fulton throwing the weight around, but I thought, generally speaking, we kept our discipline really, really well.
Yeah, I think there was only the one down in the corner late in the game where it was a bit of a... I know our guy was coming in to stick up for his teammate, but in a close game, sometimes you got to resist that. Fortunately for us, it didn't cost us any points tonight, but we got to be a little bit careful with that. I understood what you know, the guy was doing for his teammate, but still, you have to sometimes resist those. But still found a way to win the game, which was the important thing.
23 points ahead now. Sheffield losing tonight, Dundee losing as well. We're in such a fantastic position now, moving into the final stretch for this league.
Yeah, I mean, if we would have thought we would have had this kind of lead, you know, going into the last 12 games of the season, for us anyways, I think some teams have maybe 14 or maybe 15 games even, but I think most have about 14 games left. To be in this position is exceptional, and, you know, it just shows our consistency this year. It shows the level of commitment from all the players in the room to go out and play hard every night and to do whatever it takes to win.
And where does that come from? You know, we've talked a lot about the experience within this lineup. You know, we've got youthful exuberance there with the likes of Chris Higgins and what have you, but we've also got Dustin Whitecotton there up front. We've got Calvin Elfring at the back. Stephen Murphy has been absolutely superb as well for us this season. There have been so many standouts for us.
Well, I think we have a good blend. Like you said, we have young guys, old guys. You know, that experience is very important. But even our younger players have experience. You know, and let's not forget our British players who have been excellent this year. I mean, there's not one guy that we could say wouldn't make the national team. You know, I mean, they've all earned a spot on the national team. If they get it, I don't know if they will. But if you look at how they played this season, I mean, they've been fantastic, all of them. So, I mean, with that in mind and with a good balance on our team, you know, 3 strong units, and even some guys to come in if we need it. I mean, Roberts, when he's had to play for us, has done a good job. And even Brown's played the occasional shift and not let us down. So, you know, overall, we have a good group of guys who want to win. I think the bottom line is these guys just want to win. And you know, we're not always perfect, but that desire is there every night.
A couple of days off, presumably, for the guys, and then hit the ice probably on Tuesday in preparation for the doubleheader over in Nottingham. Always a big, tense affair over there at the NIC.
Well, they're a very strong team at home. There's no question about that. And, you know, they've gone through a lot of changes this year. I don't know if they've gone through 2021 imports, and maybe finally they're settling in a little bit with their guys. But, and you know, they obviously have the playoff weekend there, so they're probably, you know, gearing up for that. as possibly maybe one of their main trophies this year to try to win. We'll see how they do in the semifinals against Sheffield, but that's going to be a real battle. Although Nottingham, seem to have a big win against Sheffield tonight, and there's a pretty good gap in that scoreline, so I don't know if that's telling us something or not, but I think they're going to have a real battle for those two games, and then whoever we have is going to be a tough matchup. There's no question about that.
Coach, many thanks again for your time. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And the video highlights of that game are well worth catching, probably more than the whole game. And they're on from Giants Live TV on kingdomofthegiants.com. Gentlemen, the Belfast Giants have now on a 21-game streak unbeaten in regulation. They haven't been beaten since the 3rd of December against the Nottingham Panthers, which we'll talk about later on. Davey, you don't want to say it's a done deal, but it's a done deal. We've been saying it for weeks.
Yeah, we've been saying it for weeks, and I kind of don't want to get into that either, where it's not done till it's done. But yes, it would take a monumental collapse for you know.
It would take us to lose 13 games on the trot, I believe.
Well, not on the trap, but it would take us to get a real. Let's not look at the. Let's be positive. Let's give, what do you call him? Is it Craig Summerton? Let's give him something to, you know, the happy clappy a view from the bridge podcast. You know, we've been pumping this team's tires now since early November, and rightly so. They've played themselves and are deservedly in the position they are. They're not in the position they are by chance. You know, it's came down to hard work, and it's came down to the veteran leadership, and it's came down to, you know, some youthful exuberance. You're Belfast Datsuks. You've Craig Peacock, good goaltending. You know, this team has a wee bit of everything, and they're top of the league for a reason. And let's just hope now we can close it out sooner rather than later, just to take the pressure off and then start playing with a bit more freedom again. I think over the last week we have played a wee bit tight at times, and you know, it's just an exciting time. It's like, there's nothing better. I'm starting to feel emotional already. There's nothing better than winning leagues. Holy goodness, mate. You know, I go back to that couple of years ago when we filled the building and absolutely hammered the Steelers to win the league. What was it like? It's amazing. Being in Nottingham the time before when we won it, when the Theo season, or winning the playoffs a few times we've been there, you know, there's nothing like winning silverware. Being at the Ice Bowl and winning the Challenge Cup and the Knockout Cup, you know, these are all great moments that have happened to me while I've been at the Giants, and I just cannot wait for the next hit.
Coach, give us something negative about this side, because we do talk about how great they are, and we, as Davey says, we pump their tires every single week about how great they are. And they are. Give us something negative, something to moan about.
I hope he's not listening, but like Adam Keefe's breakaway the other night.
Oh dear!
What was he doing?
You are getting your bag knocked out.
even he was taking the mic out of himself. Something negative. We would need to seriously sit down and think. You know, I've said this for months on end, Paddy, about this team. It ticks every single box. Goaltending, top drawer. Defensive partnerships, absolutely top drawer. Elfring, Brookwell, unbelievable. Eddie has now mixed those. You know, he had the two Phillips brothers together, didn't he, at the start of the season? Even Todd Kelman was saying to us, you know, I'm not sure that's working. He needs to mix that up now. All of a sudden, he's done that with Mason and Sandrock and the two Phillips brothers. He's mixed that up, and it's working perfectly well. Going forward, we have the best defensive forward in the league in Dustin Whitecotton. We have, in my opinion, the best player in the league in Jeffrey Swayze. You look at our second line. Absolutely sublime. Chris Higgins, X-Factor player, makes plays out of nothing, invents things out of nothing. And then you've got a big physical presence in Kevin Surratt, who can play the body, he can set up goals, and he puts a puck on the back of the net. Evan Chevrey, different gravy. Our second line has been absolutely superb. And as I've said a million times in commentary for Giants Live, the second, and it, for me, it all starts to come through. See, when we're flat, we're putting in a wee bit of a poor performance, or things just aren't going our way. See, the second that Adam Keefe, Daryl Lloyd and Mark Garside hit that ice, and obviously the two main guys on that line in terms of the physical element is Lloyd and Keefe, they just energise the team, they energise the building, and it just ticks every single box. You've got the speed, you've got the physicality, you've got the goaltending, you've just got everything that you need in a hockey team in this Belfast Giants team. And you know what? The bottom line on it as well, it's a team of winners. I have never seen a Giants team in all my 14 years that want to keep on winning. they will be going into, I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, they will be thinking to themselves going into Nottingham, we want to do to them what they did to us the last time, whenever we went over there and stuffed us 8-3. They'll be thinking of last year when Nottingham came into our barn, Gary Moran got the microphone after the game and started running around our barn with the microphone singing Championes and all the rest. You know, our guys will remember that, and I hope they do whenever they go into Nottingham on Saturday night.
That's a lot of negatives there. I will quickly before we move on also throw in a word for the tactical nuance of the coach, who has to get a lot of credit because Paul Eddy returning to the Elite League after nearly 10 years away, I believe, to having been a far more experienced coach than he was at the Nottingham Panthers, brought in a couple of his own players, took a team that wasn't constructed on the whole by him, and has been able to coach them to what we now have, which is I believe a 22-point lead at the top of the table. Guys,
before you go on there, Paddy, yep. Like you're always throwing the questions at us. What would you have, you got anything you could add to that to say there's a particular standout negative?
Need to change the music.
Are we not 20 points ahead? Ahead or in second? We're 20 points ahead.
Is it 20 points now? Sorry, that's research by me.
I was 20 points ahead of Brayhead, 21 ahead of Sheffield from memory, and I think we're either 22 or 23 ahead of the Panthers, albeit all correct. Of those guys have got one game in hand from memory.
You're absolutely correct.
Don't call me the coach for nothing.
I thought they did call you the coach for nothing. Regards to negatives, Davey, no, I've got to stick by exactly what you two gentlemen have said. It's very difficult to look at this team. The word that always comes to mind when I think of this team at the minute is balance. This is one of the most balanced Belfast Giants. We are superb going forward. We're as superb going back. There's no outstanding part where you think to yourself, yeah, we're stronger in this department than we are in the other one. It's been fantastically balanced. A lot of credit has to go to Paul Eddy and has to go to the guys on the ice for their hard work and their work ethic. And that's why within the next 2 weeks, we're going to be lifting that trophy. There's no bones about it. It is very arrogant.
He's got very confident.
We've been accused in the recent weeks of being arrogant on this podcast, but I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's just a case of the fact that we are very, very lucky to be supporting a team that this season have been very successful on the ice.
You look at what we've got this team at this season, and just on a third line defensive pairing, we've got an all-star, you know, D-man and Jeff Mason from a couple of years ago who was scoring points for fun and has completely changed his game and changed his role within the team. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there and we're about 40 odd games in the season now, and I'm sure he's got less than 20 points for certain, and he would have been a point a game guy before, but he's changed what he's doing.
I think he only brought up his third or fourth goal the other night, if I remember, because yeah. I was shocked whenever I called it.
Yeah, and Jeff Mason in our previous championship season was absolutely clutch those big games. Mm-hmm. You know, you were looking for him on the point. But we've got Calvin Elfring, we've got Robbie Sandrock, and Craig Peacock, those kind of players, power playing on the, our quarterback in the power play. Jeff Mason has completely changed his role, and he's playing it fantastically well, and he's bringing Kevin Phillips' game to a different level. And, you know, small things like that, we are able to have the difference between us and the Nottingham Panthers. Look at our depth on D. Mm-hmm. Just as one easy comparison, you know, Elfring, Brookwell, Phillips and Sandrock, Phillips and Mason, look at that 6D. When you're comparing that, and the Panthers are saying they've got their problems, well, they went short and deep at the start of the season. That's Corey Nielsen's fault. So, you know,
we're not going to get straight. We're not going to get into battering the Panthers yet. We've yet to come.
Okay,
to
we'll see. Keep
your powder dry on that one. We'll save that one for later on.
Paddy, yeah. just on your comment there about a couple of comments about maybe coming across Giants fans or maybe ourselves on the podcast coming across as slightly arrogant. I think you and I and the three of us have been recognized as being critical of the Giants over the years whenever criticism is warranted. And we're also obviously
sometimes
fans.
Sometimes overly critical.
It's sometimes overly critical. And by the way, also in my opinion anyway, we have always been incredibly fair. Like last year, that Nottingham Panthers team were absolutely sublime to watch. Broke my heart watching it. Broke my heart them walking away with the Monteith Bowl in our arena. But
they were sublime to watch. And as hockey, as Robert Fitzpatrick would say, hockey aficionados, we appreciate good hockey, don't we? And we gave Nottingham Panthers a lot of praise last year.
I would agree with you there, Coach. Like, you gotta, as much as you're saying, it hurts you to say it. Imagine how much it's hurting me to say it. You know, fair play to them. They walked away with 3 out of 4 trophies. You know, it's as close as teams came to Grand Slam in many, many years. And let's hopefully, you know, let's just move on.
Well, let's have a quick look around the league. Because I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about when we come to look into Saturday and Sunday ahead. And who are we playing? Oh, yeah. Looking around the league, things are starting to hurt in Dundee, unfortunately, for Jeff John Hutchins. Paul Stroni, he's actually has left the club to join Mora in Sweden. It's a brilliant opportunity for him in what is a significantly better league. It's one that, in the press release of Dundee Stars, that Jeff Hutchins basically stated, you know, you can't hold him back when somebody like that comes knocking. It's a massive, massive knock for the Stars. Also, they've lost Tyler Dowsack for the season with regards to a fractured ankle, and Bart McPherson's also out indefinitely. And Davey, that's going to hurt the Stars in the playoffs.
I think they're going to need to get bodies in. I'm not sure when the actual signing deadline is in the EIHL. It's different. I don't think it has. It's slightly different. Slightly different to the rest of Europe. Valentine's Day, as a coach?
It's this Friday. I think it's this Friday from what Killer said, because it's something to do with IIHF regulations during an Olympic year. The deadline is allowed to be extended by 2 weeks, and the Elite League follow those rules. So I think I'm right in saying Todd said it was the 14th.
Fair enough. Well, I do think that if there's budget available there, Dundee are going to have to get people in before it really, really affects what has been an outstanding season so far. As you said, Jeff John has had a really, really good run there in Dundee. He recruited well, and losing Paul Stroni is a big, big loss to them, as is losing Dysak. So they're going to have to get bodies in on D and rapidly, because there's only a few days, as coaches said, there to the door closes.
Jeff John tweeted last night, actually, that he wasn't going to sit by and let this season drift away after such a fantastic season to date. So I think you can be fairly certain that they're going to be dipping into the market there to bring a few guys in.
Yeah, he'd be an ex-Giant that, you know, I would have a lot of time for. I hope to see him doing well there in Dundee. Not the R expense, like, but the somebody else's.
I have to agree. It's been a fantastic season for the Dundee Stars. They're riding so high for so long. They're down in fifth now. They're only 3 points off of second. They've still got a game in hand on the teams in second, third, and fourth. So yeah, it would be a shame for it to fall away, and let's hope for their sake it doesn't. Looking elsewhere, we've always spoke about Cardiff, how they're now 7 league games unbeaten, which is fantastic for them. And then looking at the main challengers, we look at the teams in second, third, fourth. On Saturday, Brayhead, they defeated the Blaze at home, whereas Nottingham stuffed the Sheffield Steelers of the NIC 5-2. And on Sunday, Sheffield took a 5-1 win over the Coventry Blaze, whereas Nottingham lost in a shootout at Hull, which included a bit of a disagreement between Tom Darnell and the goal judge in Hull, once Nottingham had scored an equalising goal towards the end of forced overtime. I believe the goal judge put his jacket on and walked out. In Brayhead, iced their backup netminder in Edinburgh, and they needed a shootout to take both points. Any comments on those games, Coach?
Obviously Nottingham, difficult to beat it whenever they're at home, aren't they? You know, coming out convincing winners against the Steelers on Saturday night. Good win for Brayhead against the Coventry Blaze. Coventry are a strange team, aren't they? They're in and out. You look at their team, Janand, Adam Henrik, Michael Henrik. You know, they've quality written not all over them. They're, certainly their top line is so filled with quality. But, you know, it's been a real strange season in there in Coventry. I saw a tweet from Craig Somerton last night at Block 15 Blaze, I think Craig is, isn't he? Yep. And a fantastic tweet that he put up to do with one of the fans in Coventry. It was a very, very well articulated letter, and, you know, basically just saying it's time to it's time to part company with Matty Soderstrom and the vast majority, if not all of this Coventry Blaze team. But he articulated what he was saying. You know, it wasn't just a rant. And he wrote some very valid reasons as to why he felt that it was time for a complete overhaul in Coventry. So it's going to be interesting to see what those guys do in the off-season.
I'd be nearly certain, looking at the league table as it is now, that the way Cardiff are playing, their streak they're on, they're going up. I would be willing to put my neck in the block and say that I think it's going to be us in Coventry for in the playoff quarter final. I don't see Hull dropping down. Hull are still playing at a good enough level to sort of hold the gap that they have on Coventry. So I think it's going to be another matchup with Matty Soderstrom. As you've said, coach, you just don't know what you're going to get on any given night. I think we should have enough over two games to beat them, but you know, never an easy place to go to, the Skydome.
Looking at the current permutations, if the season was to end today, the playoffs as they stand would be the Giants would face the Blaze, the Stingrays would face the Devils, the Clan would face the Stars, and the Steelers would face the Panthers. Now, that would be very interesting, especially that last matchup. It's not really one that the Elite League, I believe, would want, given the playoffs and the tickets being sold for the playoffs. Which reminds me, Davey, you had a bit of a comment about that this week, about playoff ticketing.
Well, you'd sent me a message earlier on today about this weekend coming up. Obviously, we're heading over to Nottingham, and it was that whole allocation of blocks for the playoffs. And once again, the Giants have in round behind the net, and the Panthers and Steelers have centre ice either side. And it was more a point of, the centre ice tickets are sold as a gold ticket, and the blocks either side of centre ice are sold as silver tickets, and the blocks behind the goals are sold as bronze tickets, which is fair enough if you have the choice of where you want to sit. But, you know, the Panthers and Steelers fans are paying exactly the same amount of money for a golden ticket as the Giants fans and the Brayhead fans or whoever else happens to sit around behind the nets are paying for a bronze ticket. I just feel that, you know, the ticketing, if you're going to make a tape, force a fan to sit in a specific block, I suppose I could go and sit in block five if I want. There'd probably be a Royal Rumble, but you know, you know, if I am being forced as a Belfast Giants fan to pay for a ticket in block nine, which is a bronze ticket, I am having to pay the same £80 or whatever it is as a Panthers fan to get a golden ticket. I just don't think it's fair. I think if they're going to have blocks five every season, they should be paying the according levy on it.
Well, then, I will say to that, then it is decided upon by the Elite League and the guys at the NIC. And I'd say if I was a Nottingham Panthers fan, God forbid, or a Sheffield Steelers fan, God forbid, I'd be looking and saying, well, we haven't chosen as a fan to sit in block three, block four. I'll happily sit behind the goal if it's a cheaper ticket. So why should we pay more for our tickets when we haven't decided to sit there?
Is it so complicated that we have block 9 this year, that next year we have block 10, and the next year we have block 11, and the next year, and everybody just moves around in a circle?
I always thought it used to do that. Because I remember when we won the playoff title the very first time in 2003, we were behind the benches. We were centre ice behind the benches.
I don't think...
I know well, because I got to know Paul Lady quite well.
I don't think in the last 10 years... We have some of the first years I was going to playoffs, we were always down around that, you know, the wee bar,
yes,
down the bottom end,
back corner.
We're down around there, and for this last number of years, we've flitted about this back, you know, sort of behind the net section of the fan. I know what I'm trying to say there, coach.
spit the bricks out there.
I will all build the wee house, and yeah. Just an observation.
Coach, anything in regards to playoff ticketing?
I tend to agree with what you guys said. I don't think it's anything to hold against the Panthers or the Sheffield fans. You know, it's decided by the Elite League and the NIC at the end of the day. They are the two biggest supported clubs, but that doesn't mean that they need to get the golden ticket, as it were, in centre ice tickets. So, you know, something that if I was Todd Kelman, I would probably be raising in the spirit of fairness for all fans.
It'd be interesting to see where we've said. I think these sort of issues have been brought up year on year, and they haven't really been dealt with by the board. I think a lot of the approach is if it ain't broke, don't fix it, which is unfortunate, especially when you've got three or four teams being rammed into one block. But then if they don't bring the total amount of fans to fill up an individual block, you can understand why they make these decisions, supply and demand. There has been a bit of an uproar as to whether, you know, it's fair or not. But unless the these teams bring the fans down to fill the blocks, and they, you know, they need full blocks, then looking forward, there's no reason why the board of the Elite League have to start to separate them out.
It brings up that whole, you know, a lot of people on the Kingdom of Giants forum have started that Panthers fest sort of, you know, commenting. Panthers fans are going to say it's not our fault. We can bring 5,000 fans, and that's right, because it's you know, beside your front door. If it was sitting in Glasgow, I'm sure the Brayhead Clan would bring more than 500. If it was in Belfast, the Giants would bring more than 500. You're fortunate. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute it shouldn't be in Nottingham, because I do believe it's the best location for everyone to have the finals there. Even if you're, you know, Cardiff always bring a good crowd up anyway, but it's just the point of it is in your city. You're obviously going to have more tickets. It's just how they're distributed around the fans. It's just a bit of a bugbear of mine at the minute.
As an aside, Coach, there has always chat about the playoffs and the possibility of maybe being revolved around the different arenas and actually coming to Belfast. Would you be a man in favour of that?
Yes, I personally would be. I've gone on record as saying I don't know if it would work every single year, but I think certainly I agree with David. I think the NIC is, I love going to Nottingham. I think it's a great city. I think it's a fantastic arena to watch hockey in. Good atmosphere in at a playoff weekend. The arena itself is perfectly suited for 7,000 fans coming in and what have you. I love going there, but I think it is time just to freshen it up a wee bit. You know, it has, no matter what, and I don't really give a damn deep down, but it has kind of come into a wee bit of a Panthers fest in a lot of ways. So it has during the playoff weekend, but I think it would be great if it came into Belfast. I think we could do it. I think we would do it incredibly well. You know, we have the state-of-the-art arena. You know, a lot of facilities going on in there as well. We've got McCool's Bar. We've got Rocky's Bar down there as well. Big concourse and what have you. And I'm sure, you know, if Belfast ever did get it, like Sir Robert Fitzpatrick would ensure that the Odyssey Arena was transformed for that weekend to accommodate a lot of people. And I think from a cost perspective, you know, I understand, you know, it's costly coming over here. We'll try a bit of Belfast Giants fan. You know, don't forget, there's how many Scottish clubs now in the league?
Four.
Do we have? Four. You know, all those guys can do what we do all the time and jump on a Stena line. That's cheap. To come over here in a Stena line, you know, jump in a car with four people and off you come. And the other guys jump on a, like we have to do all the time, jump on a Flybe flight or a whatever else, EasyJet flight, and fly into Belfast for the weekend. And I think a lot of fans around the league would actually really enjoy it. Something a wee bit different and a very different atmosphere.
I've always been when this subject came up about Belfast holding the playoffs, I've always held my hands up and said I'm actually not a big fan of it. I don't think it will work. Not with regards to whether we could put on the event. I absolutely 100% believe we can put on the event, and I think we put it on very, very well. I just agree with both of you gents that I think that the NIC, with regards logistically, location wise, facilities wise, you know, locality to the city, locale to hotels, bars. I think that the NIC is in the easiest part. Somebody rolling about on the chair. The NIC is in the easiest position to hold it, and it's been there. That's why it's been there for so long without actually being in major threat of being located elsewhere. However, I will say that if Belfast were to hold it, and in the new ethos and the new era, with the Odyssey Trust being such a big player and the owner of the Belfast Giants, and trying to push forward, like we held the Continental Cup, we've had international teams come into the Odyssey Arena for small tournaments over weekends before. It wouldn't be brand new, but a new ethos of the Odyssey Trust pushing forward and trying to be more of a key player within the Elite League setup. I wouldn't be surprised if within the next 5 years that the Odyssey Arena holds the playoff finals. And I do believe they'll put on a good show. There'll be a lot of moaning. regards to people saying, oh, we have to pay for flights and this, that, and the other. But you name me one set of fans outside of that one time when Newcastle Vipers fans were chased with pitchforks. That any group of fans who have come over to Belfast and not walked away saying that they'd had an absolutely fantastic time. I think the actual draw of having a playoff weekend in Belfast would be a big one, and the Odyssey would most definitely sell out.
Yeah, here.
So anyway, and there lies my point. Yeah. Quick look just before we move on. The league standings, Belfast, 68 points, top of the league. Brayhead, second with 48 points. Sheffield played 39, 47 points. Nottingham played 39, 46. Then Dundee, Hull, Cardiff, Coventry, Fife, and Edinburgh, who have been officially, I believe, eliminated from playoffs. Which makes Belfast officially qualified for the playoffs, the first team to have done so. Davey, last week you had an interview with Paddy O'Brien, my Gander Flyer's own, a superstar of the game in that league. And so you said you'd try to step it up a bit, and you've picked up somebody else this week.
Well, have indeed. Got a chat with being the Olympics on, where we'd try and get an Olympian on, and we managed to call up one of the Olympians that should be familiar to every Belfast Giants fan, and we'll give them a call. So here it is.
Joining on this week's show is someone who is nothing short of hockey royalty. 7 times world champion, 4 times national champion with Toronto, almost 100 points in 125 games for Team Canada, and of course Olympic gold medalist. Northern Ireland's finest ever hockey export, Geraldine Heaney. Geraldine, you're very, very welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Davey.
Geraldine, do you think that sort of introduction is something you'll ever tire of hearing?
No, I don't think so. You know, I've played hockey all my life growing up playing it, and, you know, going into the Hockey Hall of Fame a few months ago was something pretty special, and it just sort of recognized my whole career, and, you know, I'm kind of a little modest, and, you know, when people talk like that about me, I kind of, you know, kind of look back and go, wow, I did do all that and what I had accomplished in hockey, and especially in women's hockey.
Well, take your right back. You left Northern Ireland as a kid and, you know, you ended up in Canada, a very young girl. Is hockey just a way of life, or what made you pick up the stick?
Hockey is a way of life over here in Canada. Everyone playing at such a young age. And when my dad actually came over 6 months prior to my mom bringing the 3 kids over, and, you know, when my mom came over, the first thing he introduced her to was the first Saturday night. He was like, okay, sit down, we've got to watch Hockey Night in Canada. And my mom's like, what are you talking about? Because obviously she's never heard of the game before. And she's sitting down watching it, and she tells me that she turned to him and says, this is what they do in Canada. And I laughed and thought, wow, this is what I have to look forward to. So it didn't take long before, you know, all the kids got involved, and just because when you're going to school, all the other kids were playing it, and, you know, when I was growing up being a girl, there wasn't too many girls playing it at the time, but, you know, I just loved getting out with my brothers and any of the other boys in the street and, you know, playing the game. I'd actually love playing any game, just very active, and really took a loving to the game of hockey.
And when did you think, you know what, I'm actually pretty good at this?
I'm not too sure. You know, I just, you know, the game kind of grew, you know, the women's game grew as I grew along with it. And I think, you know, when I was starting playing with the Toronto Arrows, like you mentioned there, and they were one of the best club teams, not only in our area, but probably in Canada. And to be part of that organization was pretty special. And then when they introduced that hockey was going to be in the World Championships for the first time in 1990, I thought, wow, that would be amazing to, you know, represent Canada and play hockey and wear that jersey. And so I think after I made the first World Championship team and then continued to play on that team, you know, obviously I thought, well, you know, I'm obviously pretty good. I've been making the national team for a number of years. And then when they mentioned that it would become an Olympic sport in 1998, and, you know, I was like, wow, that would be amazing. You know, as a young girl growing up, I was always watching the Olympics. I actually just started watching the Olympics today, so it brings back a lot of memories. And as a child, I was like, oh, I'd love to go to, you know, the Olympics, but I wasn't quite sure what sport, because all the sports I loved, women's, you know, hockey wasn't in it. So for me to be able to make that 1998 team and go over to Nagano, Japan for the very first Olympics for myself and for women's hockey was an experience that, you know, I'll never forget. And, you know, obviously, you know, we won the silver medal there. Everybody forgets about that one. you know, because Canada's always expected to win gold. And, you know, as you get older, I actually really appreciate that medal. And, you know, my first experience in, at the Olympics, it was something special.
But most people would have been delighted, Geraldine, with picking up a silver in the Olympics. But, you know, to lose the final to USA, was that a major disappointment? Or did that just give you the extra drive for the next 4 years to, you know, head back to Salt Lake and try and make amends for that?
Oh, definitely, personally. I mean, if I would have won Olympic gold in Nagano, I may have decided to retire, but it was the one medal that was missing. And it was kind of funny because in Nagano, after we had lost and we got the silver medal, Ireland had a bobsled team. So, you know, I had to go and make sure I introduced myself. And I met the guys that were on the Irish bobsled team. And I, first of all, I thought it was a joke when some of my teammates were telling me that. So, but Ireland did have a bobsled team, and I met the fellows that were on the team. And usually at the end of the Olympics, you're in the village and you usually trade apparel and stuff like that. And I remember they came to my room and they were like, we were just trading some stuff. And my medal was just lying there. And he's like, is that your Olympic medal? I went, yeah. And he's like, wow. He goes, it's just lying there. I'm like, yeah, because I was disappointed with it. And he goes, do you know how many people would die to have an Olympic medal? He goes, we're just happy to be here. We came in 32nd place. He's like, so it was kind of funny that somebody from Ireland had to actually tell me how special my silver medal was at the first Olympics that I attended. So it was, I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, and then moving on to Salt Lake, it was a pretty difficult time for you personally leading up to Salt Lake with family and, you know, injuries. Just how huge was that to finally get that gold around your neck?
Well, it made everything worth it, I guess, in the end. And, yeah, that was a tough year for me. My uncle Seamus from Ireland passed away. I got to get back to see him just beforehand during that year. And my mom had a stroke just on the New Year's Eve. And then I injured my knee right before going to the Olympics. So, you know, just in that final game, I knew it was my last game with the national team. It would be my last Olympics. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, take everything in and to stand on the blue line and just to hear the Canadian national anthem and have that medal around my neck. It just brought everything, just went through that whole year and thought, wow, this is pretty amazing, and it was worth it. And, you know, with my mom, she ended up being healthy and all. Obviously, they just couldn't attend go to the Olympics because she couldn't fly. But as soon as I got off the ice, that was the first call, was to my mom and dad, and they were pretty happy. And so, yeah, it was a great way to end my hockey career.
Well, it might seem a bit strange, Geraldine, that a wee girl from Lurgan, you know, is now a pioneer for women's hockey, a real role model. You know, what do you see for you in the future of the women's game? Do you think, is there ever a potential for it going pro like the, you know, the WNBA, or is it just, is there already the market saturated with too much hockey already?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty tough here in Canada because everybody plays and there's so much hockey here. I mean, they do have a Canadian Women's National Hockey League, but they obviously, it's not really professional because they don't get paid for it. I would just, you know, I would love to see down the road that, like you said, with the WNBA, I would love to see, you know, a WNHL over here in North America. But again, it's money, and you need to get the people in the stands, and when everybody else is out playing the game, and they're too busy involved playing the sport, it's kind of hard to get the people to come and watch on a regular basis anyhow. And, you know, obviously in the Toronto area, with the Toronto Maple Leafs, they don't have a problem there. But if you look at some of the other NHL teams, you know, in the men's game, you know, they struggle as well trying to get people in the stands. So, I mean, I would love to see it. And you know what? I mean, as a child growing up, I never thought I'd be playing hockey and representing my country and going to the Olympics. So, you know what? Nothing's impossible. And at the end of the day, if you know, people work hard at and continue with their dreams, you never know what can happen.
And then from you hung the skates up, you had a couple of personalities, the Toronto team retired your jersey, but then right bang up to date, getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, just, you know, getting inducted along with Brendan Shanahan, Chris Chelios, was that a surreal moment? Does it feel like a, you know, like a massive honor? Is it important to you in the women's game, you know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, when I got the call, I was just like, oh, wow, you know, and I've been to the induction, was a whole weekend affair, and, you know, it still doesn't even seem real to me. So, and, you know, just when people mention it again, and it was just such an amazing weekend and something I'll never forget, and being inducted with such a great group, like you said, Brendan Shanahan, Chris Chelios, Scott Niedermeyer, bunch of great guys, and, you know, only being the third female to be inducted into the Hall made it even that much more special. And, you know, I'm just happy that they're continuing to recognize the women in the Hall of Fame, and I look forward to many more to come. But you're right, it's still, even though I went through it and been there and you know, had a great time. It still feels like a dream that, you know, but it's an amazing accomplishment, and it just, you know, just recognizes, I guess, all my accomplishments. And, you know, it's just great for my kids to get to go down and see their mom in the Hall of Fame, so it's kind of neat.
And I see now you're doing a bit of coaching. You're coaching the daughter, and the husband's hopefully practicing a slap shot as he talking to you since you chirped him at the induction speech.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, I'm coaching my daughter's team now, so, you know, I enjoy teaching the kids, and, you know, in the evenings I instruct all ages of kids, boys and girls, so I'm still very much involved with the game, and I you know, I love teaching the kids, going back to the grassroots of the game, and I think that's important, and just seeing the kids have fun getting out there and getting, you know, especially young girls getting a chance to play the game.
And the most important thing, you know, we still claim Geraldine Heaney, although you have, you know, gold medals and from Worlds and Olympics around your neck. You're still a girl from Northern Ireland. We're very proud of you. You get back home often and ever check in around the Giants anymore?
Yeah, I try to get back every couple of years with the kids. It's a little bit more difficult. My daughter is only 9. She's been 3 times already. So depending on the time of the year, I usually like to try and get down if it's hockey season, or I just drop by and go into the pub there at the Odyssey and have a drink, and because they have my picture up there in Jersey. So, and then when I'm there, it seems kind of surreal as well, because obviously when I was growing up as a child, my parents used to go back all the time, and we'd go back and they didn't even know what the game of hockey was. I think they thought, like, what is this game you play over there? So now that they recognize it actually in Ireland where I was born, I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah, we've got a fantastic picture of you doing the ceremonial puck drop just after you've won the gold medal. So we'll tweet that up on our account later on. But just finally for you, Geraldine, what would you like your legacy to be, you know, in hockey and the women's game, just around the sport in general?
You know, just playing the game, because I love the game and enjoyed it so much, because, you know, sometimes now sport has changed and parents push their kids to play certain sports, and you know, the biggest thing is have fun in it, and that's what I did, and I think that's why I was so successful in it, and, you know, just being one of those first pioneers to get the game to where it is today. And you know these girls, they, you know, when I, now that it's Olympic time, you know, I'm getting asked to go into schools and talk, and so just for them to know, you know, it was people like myself and a lot of other people that help get the game to where it is today and give young girls a chance to play.
Well, it might surprise you, it might not, that there's, you know, the Belfast Giants have a junior set up now, and there's it's a mixed team. There's girls and boys playing. I read recently, you know, you're saying something about kids nowadays, and I find it very hard to disagree with you, that, you know, they don't feel they have to work at things enough. Would you have a message for those young girls? There's a special young girl who plays for Belfast Junior Giants called Caitlin Morrison. She's pulling up trees at the game. You know, would you have a message for those kids, you know, to work hard, stick at the game?
Oh, definitely. Like you said there, it's young kids don't feel like they have to work hard at anything. But I just find that, you know, in order to get to that next level, you need to work pretty hard at it, no matter if it's hockey or sport or whether it's going to be in a career that you want. And you know, the harder you work and when you achieve that goal, the more special it is. But I think with sports, which I find and which I found, it was just so much fun, so it wasn't really work to me. So when, you know, when kids are playing hockey, and, you know, especially kids starting there in Northern Ireland, which I think is great, I would just assume that they're just so glad to get out there and get a chance to play. So I think they probably love it and enjoy it, and I think that's the biggest thing. But obviously you got to work hard at it if you want to, you know, push that to the next level. So like I said, I've said it probably a number of times, is have fun while you're doing it, because if it's not fun, especially when it's sport, like, why do you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. Geraldine, it's been an honour. It really has, and a pleasure, and we're still very, very proud of you back here in Northern Ireland. Congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction, and all the very best for the coming years with your kids.
All right, thanks very much.
Well, what an interview. What a legend of the game. Davey, Geraldine Heaney, and a very nice person to chat to.
Oh, she was lovely, yes. Down-to-earth girl. You could hear her Northern Ireland twang coming out in some of her comments there. So obviously, you know, living with mum and dad when she moved to Canada, they haven't lost too much of the accent. And an absolute legend of the game, and inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame now, you know, forever immortalized. And with the greats of the game going in there with Brendan Shanahan, Chris Chelios, Scotty Niedermayer, you know, her name is now inked alongside them. She's not below them. She's not above them. You know, she's on a par with anyone that's ever played the game.
And I have to say a big thanks to her for coming on. It was very kind of her for joining us and another great interview this week. What I will ask you guys about is that we are now in the middle, or it's just started. The Winter Olympics have begun, and the women's hockey has begun, and the men's hockey is around the corner. And this is always a big time for the sport in general. You know, the NHL shuts down. In fact, there was a time when the ISL shut down, if I remember rightly. We had the Ahern Trophy during the Olympic break. I'm really looking forward to this tournament, Davey. And what do you think we can expect from the Olympic hockey?
You're going to get a different brand of hockey than you see in the NHL, that's for sure. You've got players here playing that are high-skilled players that play a very physical style of game in North America. They're going to be playing that more European style, bigger ice pads, you know, passing. It's going to be a lot more high skill. You're going to have your top players, the likes of your Datsyuk, if he can get himself 100% fit. Dang. These players that are on show are the highest of the best of the best. You've got, you know, your high quality NHL teams, but now you've just got, this is ramped up to a level just slightly above that. And, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Coach?
Yeah, again, I got railroaded into a £100 bet on Saturday night in McCool's. Siz come up and joined us on the journey Q&A, and Killer asked us who we were plumping for, and Siz went for Russia straight away. To which Killer burst out laughing in his face. So big Siz, as big Siz does, turned around and said, "Bet you £100, and who are you going to go for?" And Killer said, "Okay, I'll go for Canada, £100." So the shook on it, and then all of a sudden it was left. Right, okay, let's make this a three way. Coach, who are you going for? I said, "Well, I'm going to have to go for the USA, aren't I?"
So you're going for the USA, Coach.
Yeah.
I actually think that's a strong shout. But Davey?
It's going to be hard to look past Team Canada, to be honest. Team Canada and Russia are the two for me that are, you know, have the standout individual players that, you know, I don't know that America have got the best goaltending that's going to carry them the whole way. Sweden have a good old team as well.
Oh, see, I was going to disagree with you there. Sorry, you say about the goaltending, especially in Canada. You got Miller is one of the options for the USA, and I think at Buffalo he's doing an absolutely sterling job. But you just mentioned the team that I was going to pick, and that's Sweden. Sweden, for me, you know, everybody talks about Team Canada. There's a lot of pressure. There is a lot of pressure on Russia to win at this in their home games, the same way that Canada did in Vancouver. But for me, you look at that Swedish team, you know, you got Lundqvist and Gustafsson in between the pipes. You're talking Eriksson at the back, you're talking Cronwall, Odoya, you look up front, they've got Steen, Zetterberg. You know, they've lost Henrik Sedin, which is a big loss for them. But that Swedish team for me might cause a massive shock.
I just don't think, I can just imagine coaches lying on his bed, probably with his head on the pillow now, snoring. I was talking about this, but, you know, I just think that
Danny Alfredsson,
Nick Lidström, Johan Fransson, and Sedin, just not having those three players at this Olympics is just three players that just haven't been able to replace. And I just think that's too big a chunk of a roster to have to replace when you've got the likes of Canada who have got 22 players that are just at the top of their game.
Another quick note, if we're talking about NHL, is that the Chris Letang at the Pittsburgh Penguins this week has been announced that he'd had a stroke. Mm-hmm. An absolute stunner for a guy, I think he's only 24, young lad, top level athlete. And what stunned me the most about that is the fact not only that he had a stroke, which is incredible, and best wishes to him. I'm sure he's a regular listener to the show. But it's also the fact that the Pittsburgh Penguins said he'll be back within 6 weeks.
Well, there are varying, obviously, severities in terms of strokes. You know, you can have, I can't remember the exact medical terminology for it, but certainly, minor strokes, for what, from what of a layman's terms.
Yeah.
transient. It's got.
I can go get Joanna. She's a stroke physio. We'll bring her in and get the actual thing.
A transient ischemic attack.
Ischemic attack.
There you go. Done with St. John's the ambulance last week. You know?
But yeah, you can get different severities of that, and it's obviously been a minor one, but still a massive, obviously, health concern for him moving forward. You know, a young guy like that, a young fit guy as well. Mm. Stroke can be associated with various different types of risk factors and what have you. But a young, fit guy, the likes of him, you know, wouldn't be at the top echelons of what you'd be looking out for in terms of a risk factor for stroke.
There's actually a really good article on it. I was reading the other day in the Toronto Star. Well, I'll tweet it up later on. It's a good read. Just pass by now, but I'll stick it up on our Twitter later.
It's one of the very few little NHL side bits that we've had on of you from the bridge. Davey, Twitter questions.
Oh, cake.
What? You've not looked them up?
Yes, of course I have. I was receiving a text message there from one of our team, and Neil Russell there sent me a lovely message. I was just reading it. Right. we fell 56. Do you guys think, and it was brought up earlier in the show, do you think that Ben Bounds will reach the same level as Stephen Murphy?
Coach.
Again, I'll refer back to a Q&A on Saturday night with Todd Kelman. And well, it was actually a good, healthy debate. If anyone's listened to the podcast that was at the Q&A, you'll remember it was a good, healthy debate. Todd basically said that a couple of years ago, Sylvain Clouthier came to him at the playoffs and said, Todd, if you were me, what would you do? What would you do differently to try and make my team a better team? And Todd said straight away, get rid of Ben Bounds. He's costing you games. He's never going to be another Stephen Murphy. And Todd was very quick to turn around and say, I've never been as wrong on somebody in all my days. He thinks that Bounds will go on, and he thinks his next move will be possibly next season up to the Brayhead clan, which I thought was interesting. It would be an interesting move for him, you know, a bigger club, maybe more expectancy up there for him. But, you know, from what I've seen, the amount of shots that he has faced this year, he's faced about, jeepers from memory, I was looking earlier on, I think he has faced something like 1,800 shots this season. And Stephen Murphy, in comparison, has faced about 1,200. But Ben Bounds, say 1,800 shots, roughly, you know, his save percentage was still above 90%. It was close to 91. So it was that he was, you know, his save percentage was that, you know, that's pretty good for a kid. You know, the amount of rubber that he has faced this season, you know, I honestly think that he could, in the next couple of years, push Stephen Murphy. No question about that.
One of the things is Ben Bounds, listen, I agree with you, a fantastic prospect. The guy has done very, very well. You know, he played a long time for the Sheffield Scimitars. He played a long time, you know, through the different youth prospects before coming in. He was with the Steel Dogs, and then he came into Hull, and he's worked his way into the Hull side, and he's done very well there. There is a main difference between Ben Bounds and Stephen Murphy, and that is in where they've come from and how they've spent their time. Because don't forget, Stephen Murphy, you know, was Fife Flyers in the BNL, Paisley Parrots in the BNL, but then actually, you know, took himself over to Cleveland and took himself over to Omaha and played in the States. Then he took himself over to Sweden, played a bit there. You know, he's actually went a bit in Norway as well. And then before he getting his start in the Elite League and started, you know, develop himself in Manchester, sorry, in Edinburgh and then in Manchester before coming to Belfast. So Stephen Murphy went away and developed his game as being a starter, getting that experience in other leagues and trying to develop the different sides of his game. Ben Bounds is no doubt going to do that. To what can he reach the heights of Stephen Murphy? I actually don't think he can. Without maybe gaining, Stephen Murphy is a more all-rounded netminder because he's had this experience elsewhere. And for as good as Ben Bounds is, and as good as the Elite League has become, he'll always be just as good as that. He'll just be an Elite League, lower level Elite League netminder. He's a fantastic GB netminder, but could he backstop the Belfast Giants? Could he backstop the Sheffield Steelers and Nottingham Panthers? He is a good netminder. I don't think he's going to be as stellar as Stephen Murphy.
You've obviously got the Team GB announcement. It'll be out by the time we this podcast goes live, and obviously Bounds, Lyle and Murphy will be the three in the 35. Do you think Bounds will make a cut ahead of Lyle, or will Lyle hold his place just through, you know, he's having a good enough season down south, but you know, will that axis change, or will it just be Lily and, yes, and Murphy again?
No, I think it'll be Murph and Bounds. I think Stevie Lyle, great player. You know, great player for the Belfast Giants, great player for the Cardiff Devils, has done really well. This year in Swindon, he's doing a fantastic job considering how the Wildcats are getting on. But then it's the EPL. You know, I watched Stevie Lyle play for the Basingstoke Bison a couple of seasons ago when they rocked into Manchester, and he was the standout netminder in the EPL because he was covering all the angles. But it was the EPL. No disrespect. I know that, you know, we've got a few EPL listeners, the guys sort of Anthony Russell and guys, and the EPL is entertaining to watch. But that's only because they're all at the same level, and it's entertaining. When you got two teams at the same level playing each other, it's going to be exciting. But it's just not as good a hockey as it is in the elite league. That's a fact. So therefore, when you take that up another level in the international, no, I'm sorry, Stevie. I don't think Stevie Lyle is going to be ready for international hockey. He might be able to step it up as a bit of a temporary backup, but I'd like to think it would be Murphy and Bounds.
Well, it's going to segue nicely into another question. You mentioned Anthony Russell there, and this might be one for Coach to go pour himself a cup of tea for a couple of minutes. Craig Peacock came in from the EPL and has been absolutely great for the Giants. This is from Anthony Russell, actually, 84A Russell, if you want to give him a follow on Twitter. Who else from the EPL could come in and do the same? And Stu the Badger's obviously three in his tuppence worth, but about Aaron Neill. So what's your take on that, Paddy?
Well, Aaron Neill, you know, did so well last season, was a standout player in the Wildcats side that, you know, it was obvious that it was a standout British player as well, that it was obvious that somebody was going to pick him up, and Sheffield came in and did it, and he just didn't cut it, did he? He was just, you know, it just shows the gap between the elite league and the EPL. I haven't seen as much EPL this season as I have in previous seasons because the Belfast Giants, you know, I've been travelling more on a Sunday to watch the Giants and not watching as much of the Manchester Phoenix. I always thought in past seasons the likes of Luke Boothroyd might have taken a step up, James Archer might have taken a step up, and none of them have.
She's not a singer.
Who? James Archer? Yeah. But none of them have, you know. Jacek has now moved his backup at the Sheffield Steelers, having spent a bit of time here in Manchester. But, you know, none of them are really stepping up and are taking those spots, those roster spots in the elite league.
Is it a fair comment, but Paddy, that Sturdy Coles has made here, you know, if they make the leap from the EPIHL to the elite league, have to be given those top 6 minutes, because you know you've Aaron Neill played nearly 40 games and has 4 points for the Sheffield Steelers and has dropped back down to Swindon Wildcats, and he's 20 goals in 13 games. You know, if he had been getting top 6 time for the Sheffield Steelers, would the Sheffield Steelers be in a different position?
Yeah, quite possibly. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But then, you know, but it's not to say, the problem is, it's not to say that there aren't good young players in the EPL. I mean, Tom Duggan, again, another player who I thought was fantastic. That's Jim Duggan. Oh, I thought Duggan was a fantastic player. You tell him. But he's just, you know, again, a lot of these guys have found their niche in the EPL, and maybe they just don't want to take that chance. Maybe they just don't want to step up. Archer, not Archer. What's his name? Played in Brayhead. His name's gone. But he, again, you know, those players, there are really good young players in the EPL. This season, I haven't been able to see as much as I was saying previous. But it's interesting. Can you find another Craig Peacock? Not to that extent. Not at the minute, I don't think. I'd be very interested to see who Anthony throws out, because he does a brilliant blog, Banners on the Wall, for the Basingstoke Bison. Well worth a read. And I'd be very interested to see who he would throw forward with regards to EPL candidates for the Elite League.
To be honest, boys, the rest of the Twitter questions, I think, are a bit, well, we could be accused of over-arrogance again, and I think we'll answer them on Twitter. There's a few regarding coaching in the future that I don't really want to get involved in at the minute, and I'm conscious that this show has already gone on very long, so I think we'll answer the rest of our Twitter questions on Twitter. Well, thank you all for them, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. At AVFTB, hashtag Ask Davey. Gentlemen, three games to talk about for the course of the next week. Not least, to start with, I think the lesser two games of the three, but that's my own preference. The trip on Saturday and Sunday to the National Ice Centre in Nottingham to take on the current reigning league champions, the Nottingham Panthers. The Panthers not running really well at the minute. 4 wins out of the last 10 games. They did get a stonking win against the Sheffield Steelers at the weekend, but maybe not performing as well as their fans would have hoped. Now, the Belfast Giants, they were the last team to beat the Belfast Giants in regulation, and that was 8-3 back, as I said earlier, on the 3rd of December of last year. Coach, significant games?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of the league itself, no. If you were to offer me a split weekend right now, I would take it. But in saying that, knowing this Giants team the way I do, and I said this earlier on the podcast, this team will remember the fact that the last time they were beaten was at the NIC, and they weren't just beaten, they were absolutely stuffed. Let's be brutally honest about it. You know, 8 goals to 3. I remember you were there at the game, Paddy. Yeah. I think you did say it was a fairly tight game, in fairness, but the scoreline would suggest otherwise, even if that wasn't the case. But, you know, this Giants team will remember that. It was a bit humiliating. There was a bit of kickback from that and what have you. And I expect this team, honestly, you just see the way they function, and they'll be going out for 120 minutes of solid hockey this weekend and try and put the Panthers to bed once and for all. Well, if we win one of those two games, that knocks the Panthers right out of the league race.
Absolutely.
They'll want to do that.
Absolutely. One regulation win for the Belfast Giants this weekend officially ends Nottingham's title race. 2 wins will secure back-to-back conference titles for the Belfast Giants. Davey, as coach says, there's very little significance with regards to the title race. He's absolutely right about that. It's about pride, and it's about putting one over on the league champions as you're on your way to a title march.
Absolutely, and it's 2 games that I'm really, really looking forward to. I remember being on a podcast that it could be more than a year ago, it could be 2 years ago, can't remember, when the Giants were playing the Panthers in the Challenge Cup final, and we said, what was the difference between the two teams going to be? And at that stage, we said it was going to be down to goaltending. And just at that stage, that their goalie was a bit better than our goalie. Well, I think now our goalie's a bit better than their goalie. And I think this weekend, Stephen Murphy can backstop us to the title.
And it would be a second title for a British netminder, which of course...
That'll never happen.
The Panthers, to say, they've spoken about their injury problems. They spoke about players coming in and going out. I'm going to turn to you, Coach. Werner's still out. Brandon Benedict, a key player for them, has been out the last couple of games in regards to family issues, I believe, and he's also coming back for injury. Stevie Lee is back for them, another key player in defence, a key British player in their defence coming back, and by all accounts played pretty well against Hull despite them losing on penalty shots. Where do you see the dangers of this Nottingham side as we go in there?
For me, from what I have seen, they're still strong going forward. Matt Francis is a constant threat. He's somebody I'd love to see in a Giants uniform. Fantastic. The Panthers on D this year just look, you know, they look disjointed all over the place. They look light on D. Obviously, Stevie Lee coming back will help them. He won the best defenseman, didn't he, in that European adventure that the Panthers had at the start of the year. You know, so he's a very accomplished young British defenseman. But their Panthers are always strong going forward. It's the way Corey Nielsen likes to play. But they've been weak at the back, and as Davey quite kind of alluded to there, Kowalski just hasn't come back. As you wouldn't expect them to be coming back firing all cylinders straight away. You know, he's maybe let a few in that he would want back, and you know, you could see the frustration, wasn't it, in Coventry that he kicked pushed the nets off their moorings and got a bit agitated with Tom Darnell. And you know, things just aren't going the Panthers' way this season, whereas this time last year all going their way. And you know, I'm sure things like that could happen to us as well. But, you know, listen, it's from a Belfast Giants perspective, I think you just got to go in there, put in a professional performance, as you say, put them to bed for once and for all, and walk out with the 4 points. And see you soon, Mr. Moran and Mr. Nielsen.
We're expecting a large Belfast Giants travelling support for this one, Davey. You're making the trip over, I'm making the trip over, and there's a lot of ones coming over from Belfast for this. I think win or lose, it's going to be a good weekend for Giants fans.
Yeah, but it'll be a better weekend with a win. You know, let's be honest, we're not going up there for anything else but the victories. This is a fixtures that I look for at the start of every season. When do we play the Panthers at home? When do we play the Panthers away? Let's not make any mistake. This is the team that I love to hate. And, you know, this weekend, I hope we put them out of the title race. And there'll be nobody shouting louder at their fans than me that, cheerio, once in 57 years, we'll see you in 2070.
and just to follow up on what you said earlier, Davey, I'm going to get you a ticket in block number 5, just so you can set them a bit. The game's on Saturday. I believe the game on Saturday is at 7 p.m. for the NIC, and the game on Sunday is at 4 p.m. at the NIC. You can follow coverage on @AVFTB on Twitter. We'll be tweeting that up. There was to be a Premier Sports game from this weekend, but it's now been moved up to Brayhead, so you can follow that game if you want to watch the game Brayhead.
Why was it changed, Paddy? Any rumours or any word in the street?
Let's just say that the Nottingham Panthers haven't done very well in Premier Sports this season.
Right, yeah, strange. Okay,
it's an interesting one. But yes, @AVFTB this weekend for all your Twitter updates. But gentlemen, there but the hors d'oeuvre to the main event.
Sideshow.
That's sideshow. To the main event of the week. We're talking this time next week, the legends, the Belfast Giants legends, for Rob Stewart's testimonial take on the Belfast Giants. Davey, what a roster we've got.
Oh, Paddy, do you want to hear it?
Go for
Dave
it.
Dave Whistle, Paxton Schulte, Kevin Riel, Steve Thornton, Colin Ward, Curtis Huppy, Jason Bowen, Graham Walton, Jeff Hood, Mark Cavillan, Shane Johnson, Paul Sample, Lee Jemison, Nathan Craze. Today we'll have Robbie Sandrock, Craig Peacock, and Colin Shields announced. And another three still to come this week.
It's going to be a 23-game streak when we leave Nottingham, and it's going to come to an end on that Tuesday, Coach.
I cannot wait, mate. Really cannot wait. It's going to be a great night. I know you two boys are back for it as well, aren't you? And, you know, it's going to be a super night. My spare room is getting ready in anticipation for the arrival of number 27 on Friday God night. God help me, is right.
Laminate everything.
Honestly, I'm a bit afraid. For the next 7 or 8 days, whenever he arrives, he's here for the whole week. So it's going to be fantastic. It really is to see all those guys back. And Schulte, Cavillan, you know, like the list just goes on. Jeff Hode, the first ever Giants captain, to lift a trophy as well. It's just great to see so many of these guys back. And you know, Kevin Louis Real, like I just used to love watching him play. So I just used to love it. And you know, to cap it off for me perfectly, we would have brought back Corey Carlander, but unfortunately Corey wasn't able to make it, and that just would have capped it off perfectly for me from that first couple of seasons of all those players that came in.
These testimonials in the past number of times we've had them, we've had Wally's testimonial, we've had Woes, we've had Kelman's. They've been absolutely superb nights to have. They've been really, really enjoyable. I remember Shane Johnson's one especially. Really good events. You know, I don't know whether has it been confirmed whether we're having a skills competition or anything like that?
Stewie was a bit afraid about that because he kind of felt that a lot of the guys were way too old now to compete in that. I'm not sure, to be brutally honest with you. I'm sure you boys will maybe ask him on Saturday night whenever you see him over in Nottingham.
Yeah, we'll have a bit of chat about that. But yeah, we've had skills competitions in the past. And then Davey's listed off the names. And I believe Todd Kelman will be putting on the skates, though that's been rebuked by the man himself.
No, he said again on Saturday night he was going to put in one shift and one shift. Shift only.
That's just lazy.
Absolutely.
That's just
well, I've still to write the press release for that, so that'll give me something to give him a bit of a chirp about.
But yeah, the tickets are well on sale. It's well worth getting down next Tuesday night, 18th of February, for what is going to be one of the great nights in Belfast. For having all those legends in one place, all those retired shirts on the ice, and if you miss it, you're really going to miss out.
I would say it'll be the only time and it'll be the last time for sure that the six guys that have got their shirts retired by the club will be on the ice at the same time. So, you know, it'll be a great night. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Do you know what? This will make me sound like a big girl's blouse. It'll actually be very emotional for fans like us, because as Robert Fitzpatrick has said to us on many occasions, Stewie's testimonial is the end of talking about the good old days. Now, we'll never forget them, and we will never stop talking about them. Of course we will, but you know, it's the end of that era. It's kind of like the final stamp on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Davey's right there. You know, will we see Colin Ward back in the Odyssey Arena? Will we ever see Kevin Louis Riel back? Will we? Schulte will come back to Belfast on holidays and all that type of stuff. So I dare say we'll see Schulte again. No question about that. But will we ever see Mark Cavallaro? It just evokes so many memories of great days, of our younger days, of our whatever you want to call it. Just like
drunken young days. I'll be glad to see what these players actually look like.
So I agree with you there, Coach, because even in the future, if we have more shirt retirements or we have more testimonials, they're going to be more like for the likes of the
what?
Testimonials.
He said testimonials. Go on, sorry.
It's going to be for the likes of potentially Colin Shales, Stevie Murphy, George Wada, people like that didn't play with Colin Ward and Mark Cavan. This is going to be the last time because none of the players that played with them have been around the club anymore that will be getting testimonials or shirt retirements, you know. So it's going to be a fond farewell, and it's going to be a night, as you say, probably of high emotion towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very interesting. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I don't think there's a webcast of this one. Coach, you've got a night off, don't you?
I don't think there's a webcast in this one, though.
No, that's true. But listen, if you haven't got tickets, you're going to miss out. Get yourself down to the Odyssey Arena and pick up tickets for the 18th of February. That's Rob Stewart's Jazz Legends testimonial. Gentlemen, Davey, I'll see you on Saturday. Coach, are we going to see you on Sunday?
On say it again, Paddy?
I'll see Davey on Saturday, but are you going to come over on Sunday?
I'm seriously contemplating.
You should come on Saturday, Coach, because I've got a spare space in my hotel room now for some reason.
Sorry, man. I'm a terrible lot on at the minute, so
send the cash. It's all right. Just send the cash.
Right, so gentlemen.
I'll see you nodding for the playoffs. I'll be there, okay, for the playoffs. Don't worry about that.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, you're paying for the room.
Otherwise, mate, I'll see you next Tuesday. I'll see you on Saturday, Davey. Take it easy, lads.
Cheers,
Paddy.
We recorded that on Monday night, and since recording it, Matt Soderstrom of the Coventry Blaze has unfortunately been disposed of by the, or deposed is the word, I'm not sure, by the Coventry Blaze. And his replacement has been Mark Lefebvre, who's relinquished his job as assistant coach to Doug Christian at Sheffield. I think the best comment about Lefebvre coming in at Coventry was nothing will toughen up a team more than the knowledge that your coach once turtled Divisio Secretini. Thanks to our good friend Graham Smith for that one. Also in the news since we last spoke, there were quite a few selections in Doug Christensen's side for the GB team in the forthcoming World Championship. Stephen Murphy, as we mentioned during the show, will be back in the squad. David and Kevin Phillips, both in that GB team. Mark Garside, Craig Peacock and Colin Shields, as expected, will be up front. And Jason Ellery is another giant who'll be joining as equipment manager. And those games, they start with, I think, Netherlands, or the warm-up games in Ice Sheffield and in Coventry in mid-April. Great show. Thanks to Geraldine Heaney for coming on. What a fantastic guest. An absolute, as Davey said, hockey royalty. And it's an absolute pleasure and an honour to have her on the show. And it was another great interview from Davey. Hope he keeps them coming. Thanks to the lads. Thanks to Paul Eddy, Sylvain Cloutier, Dave Whistle on the show. That's a first. And if you want to get in touch with us here, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, @AVFTB on Twitter, and soundcloud.com/AVFTB, where you will find all of our interviews. This weekend's games, as we said, both of them in Nottingham against the Panthers, two massive games. We'll be tweeting them up, live coverage at AVFTB or on kingdomofthegiants.com/live, which will have the stream on there. But the big game, of course, is next Tuesday. It's the testimonial game, Rob Stewart's testimonial. All the legends, Schulte, Huppe, I just mentioned him as a legend. Anyway, Ward, Kelleman, you name it, Hode, they're all back. We're really, really looking forward to that game. Get yourself tickets down at the Odyssey Arena, and we'll see you there next weekend. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time. All of you from the bridge. Dash it up against the world and steal you around.